Good to be with you, Evangel. I have one of my cool Russian mobster outfits on again. And if you're a Russian mobster and you're watching this and I just gave away your disguise, we already all knew. And so just go with it. And I want to give a shout out to Curtis Kitta, who put me on TikTok with my cool outfit from last week and said that I looked like a character from Despicable Me 2. And so, Curtis, I thank you for that. Last week, we started a series called A Quarantine Workout, and we're going to be walking through that today. But before we do, let's just pray. Father, we come, we thank you for who you are. We ask that in this short time that we have together to open your word in our homes and all over the United States, that God, that you would be the Lord of this time, and that you would speak to us, and that you would change us, and that you would mold us into the likeness of your Son, Jesus. And it's in his name we pray. Amen. So last week we talked about core strength. If you want to get a sense of God, where peace and joy and all of that stuff comes from, there are some certain things that we have to do. There's certain things that we have to connect with, and there's certain disciplines that our Lord Jesus did to connect with the Heavenly Father, and we talked just a bit about those. So we talked about the Bible, we talked about community, and we talked about prayer. Today we're going to focus on the Bible, last week we talked about this idea that oftentimes what we want is this like lightning bolt experience with God. We just want to be walking along and God just speak to us or God just talk to us, but it doesn't necessarily work like that. There's a core fitness that we need. There's a movement in our lives through the disciplines that prepare us to understand, to see the goodness of God in our lives. We talked about that mountaintop experience. Functional fitness is really your abs. And functional fitness is one of the things that in the spiritual world and in the physical world are really necessary. They're necessary because they allow us to do things. They allow us to actually go to the next level, to go to the next step, to actually do and perform at a different level. You can think about these core muscles, but unless you do the actual workouts for those core muscles, you're never going to get functionally fit. You can say, I want to be more functionally fit. I want to do this. In the same in the spiritual world, you can say, man, I really want to connect with God. I really want to know the creator of the world. But unless you're willing to do these functional exercises, it's not really going to probably happen. We talked about this idea of this being part of our spiritual core. Today, we're going to be talking about the Bible and a reading, Bible reading, and as a part of our spiritual core. I want to read you a quote. It's from Thomas Stanley, and it's from the book The Millionaire Mind. It says, great people don't have to read a lot. What they do have is an uncanny ability to read the right things. There is nothing better than the Bible. It's a great work in that it tells you so much about life, the psychology of life, the sociology of life, the motives of people, the weakness of people. We may have high technology and different ways of communicating, but the human psyche has basically not changed. It's a great book, and great books are really helpful. I think this guy is correct that the Bible does help us psychologically and socially, but it's not the primary reason. We talked just a little bit about this last week. The primary reason is to know God. The primary reason is for us to be in awe of God. This is the creator of the world. It's to know him. It's to know his nature. It's to know and to see that nature and to go, wow, this is the creator of the world, and he relates to me. He loves to hear my voice in prayer. He loves for me to know about him and to be connected to him. If you look at the Bible, there are 66 books in here written by about 40 different people. You have prophets, you have doctors, you have fishermen. You have, it's written over three different continents, 1,500 years. It's all connected and it's interconnected. These people have different occupations, different economic levels, and it's written and it's connected, and God inspired it and put it in there so that we would know of him, that we would understand who he is. Without that, you don't really understand who Jesus is. You don't really understand the character of who God is. You can understand certain things, like you can see the sun rising, the sun setting, and you go, whoa, how does that happen? What does that look like? And you may be, it may reveal to you a few things about who God is, that there's a creator, there's someone out there, at least an intelligent design in this world, but you can't know and connect all the dots without the special revelation of the scriptures. In 2 Timothy, it says this, 2 Timothy 3:16, it says, all scripture is God-breathed, and is useful for teaching, rebuking, correcting, and training in righteousness, so that the servant of God may be thoroughly equipped for every good work. This thing is useful in training us. It's useful in telling us the truth. It's useful in teaching us about ourselves and about other people and how do we connect with God. The purpose of the Bible is to give us full access to the life that God intended us to have. It's to give us this understanding of who he is and how do we relate to him and how do we actually live in this world. Some of you right now are going, man, I've heard this all before. I chose the wrong day to log on to this. This is the beauty of online services. You can walk away and we won't actually know. I won't know that you've walked away, and it's a beautiful thing in that. But before you do that, I want to give you three reasons not to read the Bible. Three reasons not to read the Bible. So if you'll stay with me just for a moment, I'm going to give you three good reasons not to read the Bible. The first one is, I don't understand it. I read it, and I'm like, I don't get it. And it doesn't do anything. Well, let's think about this for a second. If Michigan Tech was still having classes, let's say they were still having classes, and you had never taken a chemistry class before, you never didn't really understand chemistry, you went into their first class of chemistry, guess what? You're probably not going to know what they're exactly talking about. It's almost like a different language. It's almost like a different idea. You may have, maybe for you, it would be like, it's saying that I don't understand the scripture is kind of like this. It's kind of like going into chemistry class and thinking you already know it because, you know, you watched a YouTube video or you made a 2-liter bomb when you were 15 years old with some works and some tinfoil and I shouldn't tell you how to do that. So you did that and you're like, hey, I'm a chemist. Well, no, you're not. The same way, this is not natural to us. It's actually unnatural because of sin. It's entered into the world. It's broken us. And we don't really know how to relate, how to connect, and how to do this stuff. And so, of course, it's like, whoa, I don't really understand this. I don't really get this. I don't really understand how to do this. The beauty of this is that God knew this about you, knew this about me, and he gave us a tutor. He gave us a tutor. His name is the Holy Spirit. The tutor comes in and he helps us to understand. He illuminates this. He helps us to understand how God intended us to live. It's not a book of rules. It's a book of life. He's like, hey, this is how you're supposed to live. Let me show you the ways of God. Let me give you a picture of the character of God, and let me help you understand how you to live in light of that. If we go to 1 Corinthians chapter 2 and verse 10 through 14, it says, these are the things God has revealed to us by his Spirit. The Spirit searches all things, even the deep things of God. For who knows a person's thoughts except their own spirit within them? In the same way, no one knows the thoughts of God except the Spirit. What we have received is not the spirit of the world, but the Spirit who is from God, so that we may understand what God has freely given us. This is what we speak, not in words taught us by human wisdom, but in words taught by the Spirit, explaining spiritual realities with spiritual taught words. The person without the Spirit does not accept the things, listen to this, that come from the Spirit of God, but considers them foolishness and cannot understand them because they are not discerned only through the Spirit. So when you read this passage, you think, well, God has given us a tutor. He's given us someone to help us understand who God is and how to live this thing out. Now, this passage is not saying that there's like this secret knowledge out there. It's not like if we just get this, that's Gnostic, the Gnostic Gospels believe that there is this secret knowledge. It's not secret knowledge. It's the very character and the very truth of God, but we don't understand it because of sin, because of our broken nature, and the Spirit comes and says, here's who God is. Here are the thoughts of God. Here's how he wants you to live. Here's how this all works. This is how this is all connected. This is what you can do to live in this world and live life to the full as Jesus promised. So it helps us to understand this. I truly believe if you're sitting there and you're reading this and you go, God, would you just help me to understand this? The tutor comes. The Holy Spirit comes and he helps us to understand this. He helps us to do this. So that's the first reason, don't read the Bible, I don't understand it. The second reason is, I don't read the Bible because I don't like what it says. I don't like what it says. Mark Twain said, it's not the things I don't understand the Bible I don't like, it's the things I do understand that I don't like. I just don't like that it tells me to love my enemies. You know, how do you live life like that? How do you run a country like that? Love my enemies, pray for people who persecute me. I don't like that. That seems crazy to us. I love when people say, when you're reading something or you're kind of expounding on something, and they say something like, "Well, that's your interpretation." You ever notice that when people say that little phrase, "that's your interpretation," what they're really, it's never about like when you agree with that person, it's always when you disagree with that person, and they disagree with maybe what the scriptures are saying, and maybe you do have it wrong, but most of the time is they just don't like what the Bible says, and they say, "well, that's your interpretation of this." Here's what the Bible says in regards to that. In 2 Timothy, it says, "For the time will come when people will not put up with sound doctrine. Instead, to suit their own desires, they will gather around them a great number of teachers to say what their itching ears want to hear. They will turn their ears away from the truth and turn aside to myths." So in other words, they'll find someone who agrees with them. They'll find someone, they go, "Hey, this makes sense to me." And so there's someone out there that will speak this. And you can find this, you can find someone who agrees with you on the internet somewhere. And yet, if it's different than what the scriptures actually say, it's actually not true. The Bible is meant to help us to understand, to help us grow in our relationship with God. I do not like doing crunches physically. I don't like doing them. Because, again, we talked about this last week. You look at little Buddha and you go, "Hey, it didn't really change that much." But it gives you functional understanding or functional ability to walk into that next step in your faith walk with Christ. In crunches, it helps you to do the next physical activity. You can have all kinds of foreign things that will promise to give you physical strength. I have a picture of something up here. Some of you may have seen this before. It's the Easy Body Shredder. And what it does is it gives an electric shock to your core. And this is supposed to build your core, to build this thing up. Well, according to the New York Times, there was a $12 million lawsuit on this and for false advertisement. Why? Because it doesn't work. In the same way, you can find things out there. Well, this is what I hold to. This is the spirituality I hold to. And if it doesn't match up with this, reality is it's not going to work. It's a counterfeit. It's a electric belt shock. You're going to get, electric shock to it, but it's not going to actually do anything for you. for us who come to a society that is very individualistic, we're living in a time where we our governor has said, "Hey, we have to stay inside or stay at home," and that's hard for some of us. We're like, "Hey, we're autonomous; we can do this. We can," and especially for Upers, it's really difficult for us in this. And I just want to say, you know what? We miss you guys, and we can't wait till this is over. But part of that individualistic culture, part of that individualistic idea that's a part of us, what we have a hard time believing or a hard time trusting are sayings that Jesus says, "I am the truth, the way, and I am the truth, and no one comes to the Father but through me." For someone who's in an individualistic society, this seems narrow. It seems too small. You have people out there like Eckhart Tolle. He said this: "The truth is inseparable from who you are." Yes, you are the truth. If you look for it elsewhere, you will be deceived every time. The very being that you are is truth. That is what Jesus tried to convey, that when he said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life." These words uttered by Jesus are one of the most powerful and direct pointers to the truth if understood correctly. If misrepresented, they present a great obstacle. Jesus speaks to the innermost I am, the essence and the identity of every man or woman, every life form, in fact. He speaks of the life form you are. That sounds really good, doesn't it? Sounds really profound. It's not scriptural. You are not the I am. He is the I am. He is the one. You are not the truth. Let me just tell you this. I am not the truth. The truth resides in here, but it resides in who God is. And this reveals who God is to us so that we understand the truth. But we ourselves are not the truth. His statement it makes us go, "Ooh, it feels good." And to say that I am the truth, when hearing this, we like this, and we want this. We want that gate to be really wide, but that's not what the scriptures teach. Part of the reason I think we want that is that we really want to be okay. As humans, we just want to be okay. We want this person to be okay. I'm okay. You're okay. We're all okay. And we want that. And yet that's not the human condition. And that's what the scriptures reveal to us. But it's hard for us sometimes to take that in. A while back, I had a personal trainer. We were doing, actually, it was in a group type of a class. We'd get up in early in the morning. I'd go to this class And I remember we were just starting out, and there are different age groups in there. And she said, "Put your treadmill at level 10, so incline 10, and just start walking." And so we began to walk. And there's some people who were having trouble with that incline, and they were huffing and puffing and whatnot. I wasn't, and I thought, "This isn't bad. I can do this." And so the trainer comes over to me, and she begins to talk to me, kind of small talk. And I thought, "Well, isn't she nice?" And what she was doing is she goes, "You're not even out of breath. Your heart rate isn't up enough. You begin to run." And she starts pushing my button to make me run. And so now I'm like running up a hill, and I'm sucking air. And I'm like, "I hate that lady," right? Like, I don't like that lady at all, because that's hard. It was much easier when it was over here. When I was just walking up the incline of 10, it was easy. But now I'm running up the incline of 10, not good. The scriptures are the same way. There are times where it is difficult, and you read these things and you go, "Are you being serious? Are you really, is that really what you mean?" And yet some of those things that are really difficult are what bring us into proper relationship with God, proper relationship with others, and actually make us more human than we've ever been in our entire lives. But sometimes it's difficult. It's hard to say to somebody, "You know what, I'm sorry. And yet the scriptures tell us to seek after that. It's hard to confront somebody and say, hey, you know what? This hurt my feelings. It's easier to go, oh, they're a jerk. I'm just pushing them off. The scriptures tell us to live at peace with all people if possible. If it's possible to live at peace with all people, that's hard, right? And yet there's a benefit to that. Here's the third great reason that you should not read the Bible. You space out. And so when you're reading it, you're kind of like thinking about your grocery list and you're thinking about, you know, oh, the kids got, you know, they got this to do, or, you know, I should be doing this for my job right now. And you're spacing out as you're reading through the words. And you only get like 10% of what you actually read. Well, let me tell you, you do this in all types of things. Some of you will go to work tomorrow and you will space out. You'll be thinking about something else and you won't be focused for that whole 8 hours or whatever you're going to work tomorrow. Some of you space out when you're watching a TV show. You just kind of start thinking about other things. It happens all the time. What if you just began to read and you got 10% of what God had for you? What if that was actually his plan? What if it was his plan to give you the 10% so that you could start walking toward him? Just that 10% that you understand, that 10% that you're going to be obedient to. And he knew for you, the other 90% is going to cloud, you're going to get clouded up and you're going to get distracted. But this is the 10% that he wanted for you. This is what he wanted for you for that day. There's many ways to read the Bible. You can listen to it. You can have emails sent to you. You can watch it on YouTube. But the point is that it's okay if you space. Give yourself a break on that, but continue to read this. When I was in seminary, I had to write a paper on one of the minor prophets. So I chose Hosea, and I was writing this paper. And in the book of Hosea, it says something that has struck me and stayed with me from then till now. And it talks about the people. And it says, my people are destroyed from lack of knowledge. And the context of the passage is, this is the northern kingdom, this is Israel, and the Assyrians are going to come in, and they're going to take over the nation of Israel, the northern kingdom. They're going to take them over. And part of the reason is that because the people don't have any knowledge. They're walking around. If you look at the passage, it says that the priests were stumbling around. They're stumbling. They don't even know what they're talking about when it comes to God. And so remember, God's plan with Israel was that they would obey him and he would bless them. Well, they're so messed up. These priests are messed up. They're not telling the truth. They're worshiping idols. They're going on in a different direction. They're running over here, running over there, and nothing. And it says that because of this, because of their lack of knowledge, that they're going to be destroyed. As I read that verse, and this is what stuck out to me, it is, we're not Israel, but how many times in my life have I been deported from the promises of God because of my lack of knowledge? How many times in my life have I been deported from the promises of God because of my lack of knowledge? Because I didn't actually follow them. I wasn't obedient to them. Probably 90% of the things that have happened in my life, they weren't like some catastrophic nature, like things happen. It was probably not that. About 90% of the things that have happened to me in my life could have changed if I would have just read the Bible and actually did what it said. I've gotten into all kinds of trouble because I didn't do that. And so have you, right? And when we don't have a knowledge, when we don't have a working knowledge, when we're not connected to this thing, it actually steers us into a life that is less than what God wanted for us. Here's some things that I've seen through the years in ministry. People making bad choices on who they marry. The scriptures tell us. They tell us kind of clearly. don't be unequally yoked. And we kind of go, well, what does that mean? Well, it means spiritually. Like one person is a follower of Jesus. They're heading in the right direction toward God. The other person is not. And yet you fall in love. And what do? Well, you can missionary date and that works out for some people, but usually it doesn't. And you're always dragging that other person with you. And it causes problems down the road. Making decisions without getting counsel. Some people are reactors, right? They're like, oh, I'm jumping over here. Oh, I'm going over here. But they never actually talk. The Bible talks about that. There's wisdom in counsel. There's wisdom in that. And I've seen many times people just make bad choices because they didn't ask somebody else. If you had a friend who would tell you the truth, no, that's a bad choice. Don't do that. Or I think that maybe you're going too fast. Maybe you just need to slow down. And you'd listen to that person. It may have helped. Some people actually don't have friends. Well, they have acquaintances. They have TV shows who they think they're friends, but they don't actually have friends. Friends will tell you this. They will tell you the truth. And the Bible says that the wounds of a friend, they hurt, and yet they're good and they're healing and they point us in the right direction. And so if you don't have people who will tell you the truth in your life, people who will tell you, hey, you stink, man, stop doing that. Stop treating your spouse like that, or stop doing that. I think you're wrong in this. If someone will not tell you that, I think you're wrong, who has a biblical perspective on things, I'm not sure you have friends. You know, one of the things that I have seen is when people have are connected to this, they have a knowledge of this, it seems to work. It seems to go into their life and come out of their life. Brian Tome in the book Revolution said this: the Bible says all sorts of things that are backwards and unpopular. So how has it survived all these centuries? Why is it the best-selling book in the history of the world? Because it's true, and it works. There are a lot of things that I have read that or learned that I never liked, but they still work. I don't like the fact of gravity. I don't like the broken bones I have as a result of gravity. Nonetheless, gravity is there and it works. If I recognize it and I don't fight against it, my life will be better for it. Some things in the scripture we don't like. Some things in the scripture is really hard to do. And yet if we don't fight against it, it works. Just like gravity. You can't fight against gravity. Gravity always wins, right? I want to teach you really quickly, and this is not original with me, but I just want to give you a plan to know how to read the scriptures. And this is a very simple plan. It's called the road plan. And in the road plan, it's an acronym, and there are four levels, letters. First one is read. You read a portion of the scripture every day. It could be a chapter, a few verses. I really like reading big chunks. We're going to read big chunks this week if you want to sign up for our Luke study. It's 6 chapters long. It doesn't take very long. You think, wow, that's a lot. It's not really that much. And you really get a flow for the narrative, for the bigger story that's going on in there. So anyway, be open to what the Holy Spirit is highlighting. Maybe it's a verse. Maybe it's a phrase. Last week when I read 6 chapters for our study in Luke, it wasn't the whole thing. It was really Simeon. And there was this point where Simeon, he's this old dude waiting for the Messiah. They come into the temple. And what happens is he prophesies and says, hey, this is like basically good news for the Gentiles. And I thought, whoa, like the foundations of the world, Jesus or God had planned that Jesus would come and he'd be the savior of the world, not just for the Jews, but for the Gentiles. And Simeon knew this. This is amazing to me. And there's this consistency to me. But that's what stood out. Like, so read it. Understand that maybe it's a word or a phrase that God wants you to hear. Observe. One of the things that I like to do is when you, that's the next letter, observe. So R-O, observe. Note the context of the passage. Who is he talking to? What is he talking about? You know, I always like to go, you know what? These people are human. These people are human. What are they feeling in this moment? Like, what can you wrap your arms around? What are they experiencing in that moment? The next thing is to apply it. And ask God to reveal how all these verses apply to your life, what specific ways. Not every verse applies to your life. I think we said this a while back. There are descriptive things and prescriptive things. A descriptive thing is go build an ark. God's not telling you to build an ark. So if you think that God's telling you to build an ark, he's not. If you read that about Noah, he told Noah to do that. That is not your job. Don't build an ark. But there are other things like, hey, love your wife as Christ loved the church. That is, that's not descriptive, that is prescriptive. You should do that, right? Like, how does this apply to my life? Dependence on God, that's the last one. Admit to God how much you need his strength to obey the verse. The reality is this isn't natural to us. What is natural? The Bible says what's natural to us is our sinful nature. That's what's natural to a man. Like, we like sin. We like to run from God. And yet it's not the very best for us. And like, God, I need you to be able to obey this. I need you to be able to do this. And maybe you write out your prayer as an act of surrender in this. Let me just give you a sample road entry, I like to write the dates, I like to write the verse, I like to, what did I notice, observe it, and then I like to write things down, put it in a little, I type it in, I don't actually write it, but let me just give you a sample road entry. Here's the verse: beware of practicing your righteousness before other people in order to be seen by them, for then you will have no reward from your Father in heaven. That's Matthew 6:1. So what do we observe? Jesus warns us of our tendencies to do the right thing for the wrong reasons. And he reveals how often we trust in this. Our good works, our righteousness, instead of trusting in Christ's righteousness. So how do we apply that? Well, I think that's a fairly easy application for us, right? What do? We ask the question, who am I really? What do I actually do? Like, when I do something good, or I do something for my kids, or do something for my wife, do I need to run to them and go, look what I did? Look what I did. Look what I did for you. Look at this thing. I think that there is something inside of me that likes my good works, that likes my righteousness. I think one of the things for me is that I constantly have to fight this temptation to tell everyone, like, how good I am, or what I did, or how this happened, and why I was good in this scenario. So maybe the application is, you know what, I'm going to pick up after the family without making it known. I'm just going to do it. Maybe that's for me, my application in this. So that I'm not pushing my righteousness or my good works, but that I'm dependent upon Christ. I'm dependent upon him. And to go, you know what, God, I want, and this is the depend part, Lord, I want to find meaning, my importance, my significance in what Christ has done for me, not in what I've done or what I do for him. I want to get my righteousness from Christ so I can freely serve others. And part of that is me just picking up things, or me just doing things, not so I get credit, but just because I know that I can freely serve because Christ freely served me. Yours may look a little bit different than mine, but just go through this and work through this. It is amazing what you will see if you will just start practicing these functional exercises, these core exercises, and you will, I believe you will see God in a different way if you do this. Let's pray together, and I'm going to invite the band to come, and so we're going to close. God, we know that for some of your people, this message is, this is something they do all the time. And they could write in the comments below of how you've shown up as they've opened your word and how they've seen you and how they're connected to you. And we're so thankful for that. God, for others, they may not be very far in that journey of just opening your word and understanding it and reading. I just pray that they would start moving in that direction. God, I pray that all of us would not just read it for knowledge, but we would read it so that we would know you and that we would respond to you, that it would push us toward action, that it would push us toward this life that you intended. God, let us recognize that we, on our own, would not do this. We would choose something very, very different. And we would choose something away from you, which is the very worst thing. God, let us choose today to start walking towards you. Whether we're in fourth grade or we're in 10th grade or we're, 70 years old or 50 years old, wherever we're at, we need this and we need to know this. And God, we do not know all the stories. We do not know all of the things. You may have a working knowledge of all of these things, of the scripture, but God, let us dig in. Let us understand who you are. Thank you for this revelation. Thank you for the 66 books that you've given us that speak to who we are supposed to be, but more importantly, speak to who you are and how we can connect to you. Thank you for that. Thank you for your son, Jesus, that is revealed to us in this book. And we pray it in Jesus' name. Amen.